Well, Resurrection Sunday is a reason to be here, don't you think? Praise God, we've got a great risen Lord that we get to worship. We get to celebrate, and this is called Celebrate Good News. Turn to each other and say that to each other. Celebrate Good News. I want you to imagine for just a moment, just imagine what you would feel like if you were one of the 12 and you didn't know that Jesus had resurrected yet. Imagine. 3 short days ago, everything we thought was going to happen changed. The one we thought was our Messiah was killed. I changed my whole life for him. And now he's gone. We walked with him for 3.5 years. I saw the miracles. I saw them. I participated in them. I distributed bread and I distributed fish and I helped pick up the leftovers. I saw Peter walk on the water. I know I saw it. He walked on the water with Jesus. And I know I saw Lazarus come out of a tomb. I saw that. I saw crowds push on him and pressure him all the time. And last week, the beginning of the week was really cool. I mean, he came in on the back of the foal of a donkey and the cheering crowds, they were everywhere. And all the Romans could do is just look on. We had our palm leaves and we were waving them and we were singing Hosanna to the highest. Just a few days ago. We went to a garden to pray, and Jesus asked us all to stay awake with him, and I just couldn't do it. It was a heavy time, and he seemed so sorrowful. And then it was utter chaos. Judas shows up with a bunch of soldiers, and everybody's scampering, running all around it, and I watched Peter grab a sword and cut off this guy's ear. And once again, just like always, Jesus reached up and picked up the ear and he healed this guy. But they still arrested him. They threw together some sham of a trial. They beat up Jesus. They took him out and they crucified him. Now he's in a tomb. What now? We're all hiding because we just know we're next. I don't get it. What went wrong? We all took off. We told him we wouldn't, but we all ran. We were scared. And we all ran away. And right now, my friend Peter, he barely even talks to any of us. He told us he denied Jesus, but I got to tell you, I did too. I ran away. Might those have been some of the thoughts from his disciples? How about you? How about you, right here? Have you ever in your life messed up? Turn to each other and say, must not be you, but I have. You know, the Bible uses the word for sin, and it refers to two ways, okay? A little theology, don't go to sleep on me here, but a little theology. There are sins of commission. How many know what those are? Sins that you commit. And then there are sins of omission. You know you should have done something, but you omitted it. You didn't do it. Either way, it's got you coming or going. Sin's a problem. But that's why Jesus died, isn't it? Pastor Kevin, you don't know what I've done. And I ain't going to tell you. You don't know my heart. You don't know my attitudes. You don't know my actions. No, I don't. But Jesus does. I'm here to tell you it's not over. I'm here to tell you that after a crucifixion, there's a resurrection. I'm here to tell you that Jesus didn't just die for you. He rose again for you. Someone say, praise God. You can celebrate good news. The stone is rolled away. First point, the stone is rolled away. How come? Why can we celebrate good news today? Joseph went in and he begged Pilate for the body of Jesus, and he and Nicodemus, if you read your Bible, went and placed Jesus' body in a rich man's tomb, carved out of the rock. 3 days later, three women carry spices to the tomb to prepare the body further, because in Israel, and the temperature and the climate that it was, there would be a stench as the body began to decay. But these spices they're bringing will help. Watch the scripture, Mark 16, verses 1 through 2. Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. By the way, anybody see the glorious sunrise this morning? What a fantastic thing. They didn't care if they would get arrested. It didn't matter that their hopes had been crushed, that they were disappointed, that they didn't understand, and that their hearts are broken. They didn't stop to calculate it and think it all through. They just know that the one they loved was laying there in that tomb, and they wanted to take care of him. How many know love for Jesus isn't always practical? Let's go to church, someone might say. Someone else might look at you and go, now? What? It's not convenient. It's not practical. What's your family going to think? What are your friends going to think? Maybe that's how the thought process goes. But they're nearly there. This is so cool. They're nearly there. And reality sets in. You know, their love for Jesus drives them. And all of a sudden, they're almost to the tomb and watch these words. And they said among themselves, little problem. Who's going to roll the stone away? That stone probably weighed between 1 and 2 tons. It was a round stone, like a disc, if you will, set in a rock trough. Who's going to roll this thing away? But when they looked up, they saw the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. Now, in the Greek, the word for very large is megas. What does that sound like? Mega. And how many want to win? Mega. Millions. All right, so it's megas. It's very large. It's exceedingly huge and high. And this shaped stone needs to be pushed aside. Now, when you come to Israel's practices, what they would do when someone had been laid in a tomb, they wouldn't enter again until a year had gone by. The body had decayed, only bones would remain. They would go in and they would pick up the bones, wrap them up, and put them on a slot or a shelf, if you will, in the cave. Now, Jesus said, he'll rise again. How many in this room know Jesus does what he says he's going to do? Jesus said, I'll make a way. God will make a way. I'm going to rise again. What's the obstacle between you and Jesus? What is it? Is there one? Something in your heart of hearts that you might not want to tell anybody about? Something that maybe you have a problem with, and you don't dare tell whether it's the past, the present, or ongoing, and you don't want to tell, but Jesus knows. And Jesus looks at you this morning and he says, son, daughter, I will roll that stone away. On a cross, he said, Father, forgive him. Father, forgive her. And because of Jesus, you get to celebrate good news. Come on, say it with me. Celebrate good news. Number two, miracle power. Miracle power. Now, this is what the Bible says. Get a load. I want you to put yourself there. Listen to what the scripture says took place. Death couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't keep him back. Miracles literally took place when Jesus was resurrected. And you can celebrate. What do you think it looked like? Watch this. Jesus cried out again. We're going to pick it up from Matthew 27, 50-54. He cried out again with a loud voice. He yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two. How? From top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split. And the earth quaked, there was an earthquake, and the rocks were split. And the, say it with me, please. Graves were open. Now this is probably the part you hadn't thought about. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Now, fallen asleep, just get a grip on what that means. In the Greek, it means dead. All right? Those who were dead, many of them, were raised. Now watch this. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. How'd you like to be getting ready for your Sabbath meal and all of a sudden Uncle Harvey shows up at the door going, I'd like something to eat too. Didn't we bury you 3 years ago? They feared greatly, the Bible says. So when the centurion and those who were with him, who were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly. Anybody in this room wouldn't fear greatly? Saying, truly, this was the Son of God. That Greek transliteration is phobeo. Sounds like what? Phobos? Phobia? The Greek ties in with the language we speak. It means literally frightened and alarmed. And they're scared to death. And then the veil rent is split, is torn from top to bottom. Now, there were two entry places into their temple. One was into the holy place. And the most holy place where the Ark of God's presence was kept was another huge veil. Only the high priest could pass through one time a year. And the ancient writers reveal that this veil was probably 60 feet high, 30 feet wide, and a handbreadth probably 3 to 4 inches thick. They say it literally took 300 priests to be able to move this veil. They say, and some of we talked about this a little bit on Friday night, if you put a horse on one side and another horse on the other side, and you, with all their might, release them to pull, they could not tear this thing. But God said, I am tired of my people not being able to get through to me. It's my idea. I sent my son, and it's ripped from top to bottom. No matter what good works you do, you can't rip it from bottom to top to get in. But Jesus opened the way for you and for me. God initiates. Don't you think that's worth celebrating? Someone say it with me. Celebrate good news. Romans 5 verse 8, God demonstrates His own love toward us in that, please say it with me, while we were sinners. I'm not a sinner, Pastor Kevin. Well, I might have had a bad thought in third grade. Okay, that qualifies. Christ died for us. Romans 5, verse 10. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we'll be saved by His life. The King James, the earth was rent, literally is seizo. Remember the words like seismograph? Earthquake, seiso, shake, agitate, create a commotion. Creation trembled. The Bible literally means in the Greek it was schizo. What's that sound like? Split personality. Schizo, to rend, to tear, to violently tear asunder, that veil was torn. Celebrate good news, church. We've got every reason. He took care of these things for us. Next, Jesus knows you by name. I want you to turn to each other. I know I have you participate in church. I want you to look at each other and say, Jesus knows you by name. Say it to each other. Jesus knows you by name. Now I know. I have fun. You got to get to know me a little bit. Hopefully you will. But anyway, I have fun. And I can just imagine some of you sitting there going, I came to church and I just hope the pastor does not put me on the spot. Like, Vern, come on up and finish the message, okay? Oh, no, not yet. Not yet. He's not going to introduce me, is he? No. I know you want to be anonymous. I really know that. But you need to know Jesus knows exactly who you are. And He loves you. He knows you. And He loves you. He died for you. And the great news is Jesus rose again for you and for me. Mark 16:5-8, and entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed. You see, the ladies went back and reported to these guys, these disciples, they've taken his body. They didn't remember, they didn't believe that he'd risen again. So who do you have? You have John and Peter lumbering. You think of Peter, a big guy, lumbering toward the cave, and he's not there. But there's a young man clothed in a long white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, don't be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. Say it with me. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, and I love this, tell his disciples, and everybody boom it out with me, and Peter. Come on, say it with me and add your name. And Kevin. That he's going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him as he said to you. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb. They trembled. They were amazed. They said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Amazed is the Greek ekstasis, like ecstasy. You see how it ties together? Ekstasis, a displacement of the mind. They were in bewilderment. They were afraid. There's our Greek word phobeo again. Come on, Kevin. He doesn't really know me. I'm hiding out. I'm kind of on the lam from God. I don't want to make a fuss. I'm not good enough for church. I'm not good enough for Jesus to mess with. Peter felt exactly the same way. And Jesus said, oh, by the way, I want you to tell all my disciples, and I know you got one among you who's not talking to anybody right now. I know that. So go tell Peter also. Isn't that the love of a great God? Knows you by name. Knows me by name. Go tell Kevin the loud one. Tell each other. He knows you. But I feel guilty. Pastor Kev, why do I feel guilty? Maybe the Bible says sin separates you from God. Maybe there's something that you need to confess to Him. Maybe you've never stopped and asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. I want to ask you a question. If you died right now, please don't do it, okay? But if you died right now, do you know where you would spend eternity?
Yes.
Invite Jesus, surrender your life to Him, ask Him to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. And guess what? You'll know for sure. Okay? It's that simple. Oh, well, you know, I don't want to be like one of those crazy born-again people. Well, I would rather not be like one of those crazy people that never invited Jesus in. Love Him because He loves you. I'd like you to say it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For He sent not His Son, He didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the remedy for sin is a precious, powerful Jesus. Maybe you've been discouraged. Do you know that discouragement causes you to have a blind eye to believing? Do you know why I know that? Watch what the Scripture says. Luke 24:12. Peter arose, ran to the tomb, stooping down. He saw the linen clothes lying by themselves. He departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. In the Message, watch what it says. He walked away puzzled, shaking his head. Sometimes we get discouraged over what we do, and it holds revelation. Our eyes don't see. But Jesus sees beyond your faults and your sins to how much He loves you. Luke 24, 22 through 24. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. Do you know what it means in the Greek? That they astonished them? That literally means in the Greek, these guys thought these women were insane. They were driving them crazy. Guys, do not look at your wives right now. If you want a rest of a good day, don't look at your wives. How many know the women were right? Okay, wives, you can nudge your husband. That's okay. Yeah. In Mark 16, verse 14, later he appears to the 11 as they sat at table. Jesus comes in to them and he rebukes their unbelief, their hardness of heart, because they didn't believe those who had seen him after he was arisen. You know, discouragement holds our heart without being able to see. Which one of the disciples do you think the word doubt goes with? Doubting Thomas. How many of you in this room know that upon occasion in our lives, you and I are doubting Thomas's? John 20, 25 through 29. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we've seen the Lord. So he said to them, this is Mr. Faith and Power, unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, put my hand into his side, I will not believe. I don't chide Thomas. Haven't you been there? Come on, Lord, I need you more now than ever before. Show up. Show me tangibly. Show me. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came. The doors being shut, he stood in the midst, and he said, what did he say? Peace be to you. Peace to you. And he said, Thomas, reach your finger here. Look at my hands. Reach your hand here. Put it into my side. Don't be unbelieving, but believing. Now, if you were Thomas right then, what do you think you'd do? Oh, that won't be necessary. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. My Lord, my God, I have loved you. I have searched for you. I've walked with you. I've changed my entire life for you. And I thought you were gone. And I'm so glad you're here. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus knows your name. Come on, say it with me. Celebrate good news. And then I'm going to close with this last point. It is, come on, say it with me. It is finished. During the last moments when Jesus gave up his life, he exclaimed loudly, it is finished. Pastor Carl spoke wonderfully about this Friday night. But tetelestai, what did he cry out on the cross when he said it is finished? In the Greek, tetelestai, and it's from teleo, and it literally means it's ended, it's complete, it's concluded. I have discharged everything God has told me to do. Let me tell you a little story about what this means so you know what Jesus was saying on that cross. During the first century, it was a common practice to nail the charges on a sheet of paper, the charge sheet of a prisoner to his cell door. The offenses for which he was convicted were written on the charge sheet as well as the penalty imposed on him. After he served his sentence, the charge sheet was removed from the door and canceled by writing across it in big letters, tetelestai, fully served. Say it with me, fully served. It was then given to him, and no one could accuse him of those crimes ever again. Another usage. When a general returned from the battlefield and paraded his captives of war in the streets of Rome, he proclaimed his victory by shouting, tetelestai, a victory shout. And he would parade his prisoners in front of him so everyone would know the enemy is defeated. Mission accomplished. Come on, say it with me. Mission accomplished. On the cross, Jesus loudly cries out, paid in full. Mission accomplished. Come on, church, that should render an amen from your heart. Amen. Paid in full. Mission accomplished. Are you glad? Yes. Resurrection. Forgiveness. Grace. Love. Victory over sin, the death, victory over the devil. Jesus is the only leader of a world religion who ever died and rose again. It's a historical fact, church, but it's much more than history. It's truth for you and me. Only one more thing left to do. Give him away. Mark 16, 15 through 19, he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. One of the greatest proofs of the resurrection that it had occurred was a total life-changing transformation that occurred in the lives of his timid disciples who were timid no more. They celebrated the good news, and everywhere they went, they gave him away. Musicians, will you come? And I'm going to close with one final story. How many know that Jesus is coming back? Jesus is going to return for his people. There's a little story that's true from the scripture. Simon Peter, it's John 20, verses 6 and 7. I'm not sure it's up there. Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen clothes lying there, the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying by the linen cloths, but folded together, it says, in a place by itself. Let me just explain a little of the Hebrew tradition of the day, and we'll close with the song Celebrate. The Hebrew tradition of the day, the folded napkin had to do with the master and the servant. And every Jewish boy knew this tradition. When the servant set the dinner table for the master, he made sure it was exactly the way the master wanted it. All the plates, all the beverages, all the utensils, furnished perfectly for the master. And when the servant would be by there just waiting, he'd just be off to the side, just waiting, not moving, out of sight, until the master had finished eating. And then the servant would not dare touch that table until the master was finished. The master had one of two things that he would do. If he was done, he would rise, wipe his fingers, his mouth, clean his beard, would wad the napkin up, and he'd toss it over onto the table. And the servant would then know, I'm free to clear the table. In those days, the wadded napkin meant, I'm done. But if the master got up from the table, folded his napkin and laid it carefully by his plate, the servant didn't dare touch that table because the folded napkin meant, I'm coming back. Jesus folded that napkin. He laid it next to the rest of his clothes as a further statement to you and to me. I love them and I'm coming back. Celebrate good news. Today, no matter what you do, whether you eat ham or pork or chicken or go out to Mexican. Celebrate good news. Whether you watch a sporting event on television, whatever you do the rest of the day, let your underlying fundamental joy be to celebrate the good news of Jesus who loves you, who lived, died, was buried, and rose again. What a great God. Amen? Amen? Turn to each other and say, come on, celebrate good news. Some refreshments. Some resurrection cake. There you go. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 26, and I like to close this way. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you, be gracious to you. May the Lord show you His favor and give you His peace. God bless you. Be released. Have a fantastic Resurrection Sunday. Amen.